B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome in. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Mark Farzetta, Trey Thomas, Bob Cody, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson with you. You know, we had quite a day yesterday, folks. Did we not have a full day?
Awesome day.
It was incredible. Huntington Valley Country Club, the Darren Dalton Foundation golf outing. We had all sorts of Phillies alum just walking around. And, you know, the Phillies alum always make you feel good, despite what press conference the team does the previous Friday. And we had some fun golfing, right?
Yeah. Oh, a lot of fun golfing.
A lot of fun.
Trey and I have to bolt early, unfortunately.
Yeah, my kids are off for Christopher Columbus Day, which I'm very surprised that it's still even a day.
It's still a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never got on board with all that.
Damn.
I never understood. It was explained to me later.
Yeah, that should be shifted to Election Day people off to vote.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
You know what? Here's, I guess, Christopher Columbus' great marketing campaign. You were the first, I guess.
That's marketing.
That's what the commercials told me.
Good marketing.
Them Spanish people, they had a good marketing ploy. What can I say? But you look at, they financed the trip, in case you missed that part of history. So anyway, here's the deal. We had a nice little day. You had to leave early. I had to leave early. I had to go to work, all that stuff.
I went to go chill.
The other job right now. And then Bob and Jamie stayed on the course and continued playing. How many more holes did you guys get in?
We finished.
Oh, you did!
You guys played seven. We played 11 by ourselves.
Is that all? We played seven holes. See, I hate scrambles. You always lose track of like what hole you're on. Because you always start.
You
started a weird hole, whatever. And then you're never focused on your game. So like you're used to getting into the flow of your own game. And it's like, all right, we're going to take this shot over here. Okay, fine. Where's yours? Oh, it's in the woods. All right, let's go play over here.
Mark is not a team player.
That is correct.
Okay.
So, at least not in golf, anyway. So, it was a good time, and then we leave, and then we go about our lives, and then somehow, some way, magically, Jamie Lynch was, like, shot in the head or something like that. What happened to you? the first thing I saw on Twitter today was you with this giant red mark on your forehead.
Well, what happened was Skylar got these new suction cup toys that...
Oh, dear God.
My aunt got us. And they're for surfaces. You put them down on the table. The kids can yank and pull them, and they don't go anywhere.
They're for surfaces.
Yeah. And I was like, I have a large skin surface head.
Yep.
Why don't I put it up there? And sure enough, it stuck like hell. And Skylar was pulling on it and like laughing and giggling, and I had a great time forgetting all about the Phillies. And sure enough, I take it off like 15 minutes later. And Addie was like, oh, my God. She's like, that's really bad. And I didn't believe her. I thought it was just going to go away. And then like a half hour later, I was like, oh, this is kind of here now. This is real.
You have more injuries in this year than I've ever seen anyone have.
That's not a real injury. It's
the inner thigh, climbing over the fence.
The fall.
Yeah.
The great fall. Yeah.
The great fall.
My inner thigh took a couple beatings on that one.
Yeah.
The ankle at the golf course.
Uh-huh. He fell.
Yeah.
And in my teachable moment, I slipped.
He broke a tooth.
I did break a bagel. Yeah. All right, Dan, when you say it like that, Trey, it's been a rough stretch.
And Kirk Cousins hurt your soul.
Yeah.
And all but the last one were avoidable.
Oh, but Kirk,
extremely avoidable.
In the words of the mighty E-Rock, Kirk Cousins killed a man.
Yeah, he killed Zach Brown. Took him out back and shot him like Old Yeller.
Damn.
Cold.
Get the shotgun. We're going out back.
Why?
Here's the deal. I'm watching the Twitter feed last night. I get home from that really nice day we all had, right?
Beautiful day.
And I'm grilling some brats for the family.
Brats.
Yeah, man. Come on. Yeah.
Little Toots likes brats?
Oh, Little Toots loves brats. And so I took one. I stuck it on my head just to see if it would... No. So I'm sitting out there. I'm enjoying a cigar. Right, I had a half-smoked cigar from the weekend. I was like, let me finish up that bad boy. Mm-hmm. Wife and kid are inside. Toots and Little Toots are inside watching, like, Gilmore Girls or something. I don't know. And I was outside, and I was like, finishing that cigar. Make the brats, right? And there it is, right up on my phone. Boom. Zach Brown released by the Eagles.
Yeah.
Now, as much as I think people that want to drive home the point even further than you, Trey, and myself, and Bob, and Jamie, about bulletin board material... Zach Brown was not playing very well for this team. And Camus Grugier Hill, in the first couple of weeks of the season, they were seeing if he'd be able to come back from the injury that he suffered during training camp. He has done that. This is, I believe, you know, them just kind of rotating guys that are going to be ready to play this game. And Camus Grugier Hill is a lot more ready to play this game right now, and a better choice to play this game as a linebacker for Zach Brown. The other part of this is that you hope, you cross your fingers, that maybe a move is around the corner for the Eagles. Maybe a move was around the corner. Maybe they're going to do something. Right, Bob?
Corner being the key word.
How many? I'll take a corner.
Yeah.
But here's the only thing I look at a corner and I go, well, maybe not. Is because you listen to Doug Peterson's press conference yesterday, which was not inspiring. We'll just classify it as not inspiring. Mm-hmm. And he talks about Ronald Darby and Jalen Mills being able to practice this week, and they hope to have him play this weekend against the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday night. But the only problem is, well, two problems. One, Ronald Darby hasn't played in 4 weeks, or 5 weeks, rather. And then you have a guy in Jalen Mills who hasn't played all season.
You can say the same thing about Sidney Jones. He hasn't played all season either.
He's been there. I've seen him.
Yeah.
But everything else, and then people are still waiting, holding out hope on Craven LeBlanc. People are holding out hope that some of these other corners be able to step up a little bit later in the season. For instance, you have Avante Maddox, who, as of last week, was walking around the locker room with a pretty serious-looking neck brace.
Like, right.
The real deal, not the little collar. The one that was, fully on the chest, fully on the back, keeping his head still. I don't know what they're going to get from the cornerback position for the rest of the season, but going into the year, even taking into account Jalen Mills coming back, I said that you don't have a great corner on this roster, and that's not breaking news. I don't even think you have a very good corner on this roster. I think you have guys that are okay to god-awful. I think they fall all in that range. You could talk about Rasul Douglas and Jalen Mills being on the same wavelength in terms of always competing, never bowing out, never hanging their head, always going after it. But still, they are just okay. That's it. That's the highest grade you could give any corner on this roster. Even Ronald Darby before the injury wasn't looking exactly great in that game either. So when you look at these corners, I'm really hoping they go out and they get somebody that is more of the very good variety as opposed to the... He's okay, but he's too slow. Because that's the only thing you could really say about either Jalen Mills or Rasul Douglas.
Before you move on to the corners.
Yes.
You're saying that with Zach Brown being released, you don't think that it was because of the trash talk and also only having one solo tackle in this game?
Yeah, but I think it's more of the one solo tackle as opposed to the trash talk.
Yeah, I think the trash talk had a lot to play into it as well.
Really?
Oh, yeah. When you go in there and you poke the bear and you only come out of there, you put on the lone streamer. And then you only have one solo tackle.
Yeah, I forgot about the streamer. You're right. I'm sorry.
Put on the extremely long streamer.
Yes.
That was hanging all the way down to the Achilles to flow in the wind as you're watching Cook run by you. You don't think that had anything to do with it?
That did. But yeah. the talking, I don't say as much. I'd like to believe that, but I don't think it did.
I believe the trash talk had a lot to do with it.
Trash talk, final nail?
Final nail.
Or was it
trash talk, then going out there and only having one solo tackle? Yeah, we got to.
Okay.
Talked a big game.
Yeah.
Did not help.
Yeah, no.
Did not play a big game.
No.
Did not help further.
No.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
strike out. Strike one, strike two, strike three.
So Doug comes out and almost, sounds like he guaranteed a win, more or less. And then in the locker, and then the press conference yesterday, it was like, whoa, let's not get crazy here.
Yeah.
The other team gets paid too. I'm sure Jason Garrett's going to say the same thing. Yeah, and then walk it back, take a couple of giant steps backwards.
Yeah, when I first heard that, I was like, oh, no. Here we go. More bulletin board talk. But as a coach, coaches are going to say that, but my thing is, it's one thing to say it to the team, but then when you start saying it, in your interviews, then that's when it starts getting like, all right, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Because you never hear any of the successful coaches go out there and just say, hey, you know what? We're going to go out there and go whoop this other team. Even though they might be telling their players that in the meeting room, but never in the media. Just because they know bulletin board material.
Mm-hmm. It reminded me of Jamie on the course yesterday. Somebody came up to us and goes, oh, I'm a 9 handicap. I'm playing like a 20, though. And Jamie said, you know what? People that are really a 9 handicap or whatever it is, they never come out and just say so.
Mm.
They just wait till you ask. It's like a coach. Good coaches don't come out and say what's going to happen the next week. They just kind of
Yeah, we'll play hard.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you, Trey.
They always compliment the other team.
It's almost a little, not desperation, but I don't know what it is. Didn't sit well.
Reaching is what it is.
Could be reaching.
That,
that's good.
It sounds to me that he is reaching.
That
and
could be.
To hear the press conference yesterday was something that I was like, this is a run of bad press conferences for Philadelphia sports. I'm still trying to figure out. And here's the thing. The Phillies thing we'll get into again a little bit later. But the Phillies press conference just left your head spinning. And it was an hour of just, what are you talking about? That
right.
type of thing.
Yeah.
And then listening to Doug yesterday, you just wanted to grab him and say, Doug, stop. Just let it go, man. Because the way he was talking about trying to justify the fake field goal further made no sense. Like, if that makes any sense, it made less sense. Zach Berman is going to be on with us a little bit later today. Zach Berman is going to join us. He was in the midst of that press conference when they were pushing Doug on the fake field goal, and Doug finally just had to go, enough. Vikings made a great play. Wasn't that hard to make a good play?
Yeah.
They counteracted your stupidity. They took advantage of it is more so the phrase. So I am hearing right now
but
a lot
got
of people.
Look that he wanted.
No, there was no look.
They got the look that he wanted.
Trey,
they lined up in field goal. The defense lined up in field goal block. Hey, that's the look that we want.
Hey, that's what you call a defensive matchup nightmare.
And Jake Elliott. I went back and I watched this game when I got home again. I wanted to watch this game again.
Yeah.
Because my wife was like, they did a field goal. Yeah, babe. Whoa, let me fast forward to this so you can check it out.
Were you playing Madden? No, that was the real thing.
Yeah, that really did happen.
By the way, Madden, you just go for it with your real personnel. But whatever.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, why not? But yeah, so.
He trusted Jake Elliott to throw the ball more than he trusted Carson
Wentz.
He
had the tight end open.
Yeah,
if he's an NFL
quarterback and he's throwing it on the break and he has confidence that he knows exactly where to put it and the arm strength to put it out there because if he floats it a little bit, that's 6 the other way. Worst call ever. And I brought up this line. I only brought it up once yesterday, but I really believe it and I put it in my notes on Sunday. Is Doug trying to mask his coaching deficiencies with his, quotation, gutsy play calling? His gutsy play calling is starting to rule the day. Is that what he wants to take away from the ins and outs of, is this guy coaching well?
Mm-hmm. Or is it the other part? Right, and that's I think it's a great question.
I think it's legitimate.
It absolutely is. I think the other way to phrase that, or the other reason he might be going for more gutsy play calling, how you phrase it, is simply because he feels like he has to. The only way I can win with the personnel I have right now is by trying to go that extra mile. Is to reach for that big play that I'm not supposed to get. No better example than a fake field goal on the road before halftime when you're already down. What were they, down 14 points at the time?
Yeah.
Doing an opportunity, a 10-point swing?
Yeah.
And they said, no, we're going to try to go for a 14-point swing here. Not a good play at all. And it's not really the first time this season. And obviously, no head coach is perfect, but it's not the first time in this season either that you can look at Doug Peterson and go, what are you doing, Doug? Because really, throughout this season, it feels like a lot of people in the fan base that we talk to, a lot of people on social media, they are losing faith in Doug Peterson as a head coach of this football team.
And Big Balls Doug. Big Balls Doug anymore.
But how about this title? Super Bowl champion Doug Peterson.
Yeah.
I get the sense that a lot of people are losing confidence in Doug as a head coach.
I'm losing more in Howie than Doug.
Well, I think Howie is who we kind of focused in on a lot yesterday.
Yeah, and but just overall, like, he's behind. Like, I'm not there with Doug yet.
But here's the thing with Howie. The guy that was really running the draft for the last 3 years isn't even here anymore. And that's Joe Douglas. Now that's been shifted to Andy Weidel. Howie, yeah, sure, has probably final say on all that, had final say throughout it. But he did lose the guy that was his number one scout, more or less. And he would always refer to it as Joe's scouts and Joe's team and them putting together the draft board and all that stuff.
I mean, it's almost similar to the Klintak or Gabe conversation, you know what I mean?
Sure, absolutely. I think with both,
I think it's more of a talent issue than it is a coaching issue.
Right, but maybe we'll have that question tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
but as of right now, as the head coach...
No, I'm not there with Doug yet.
You're not there with losing confidence.
No.
So here's the deal with Doug. Because you've mentioned the name Frank Reich more than any of us.
Yeah.
And there's validity to that, being a guy with 35 years of NFL experience versus a guy in Mike Rowe with, like, 6.
Yeah, right? An undergrad versus, like, a PhD level,
Or an intern. I think an intern.
Yeah, an intern is probably
versus the PhD. But think about this. If you're losing confidence in Doug Peterson, just think about this for a second. Your offense has sputtered over the last 2 years, so that was that would be a reason why you've had some, I don't know, maybe some questions going into right now. You're the worst team in first quarter scoring over the last 2 years in the NFL. First quarter scoring.
Oh, yeah.
Worst team. When your play caller, when your game planner has the most to do with the game plan itself, you suck. Like, he draws it up. You either can't execute or the game plan is just garbage. You know, right now in the three games they played on the road, they haven't scored a point in the first quarter.
Yikes.
Oh, yeah.
That's atrocious.
Oh, yes.
All right. Now, you also see one of the dumbest game plans in, well, really one of the dumbest game called in the last 2 years when you look at the fake field goal just on Sunday. Atrocious. And then the dumbfounding press conference yesterday, and we'll go through all that. But I want to know from people right now, because even around the Super Bowl, people would say that Doug got lucky. Like, it was a small minority of people. But, oh, Doug got lucky in that Super Bowl. It was his players that did it. Even Philly Special was a play called by Nick Foles.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm not going to belittle a guy in a Super Bowl victory, but I know those people existed. But right now, would you say, if you look at Doug Peterson, you're losing confidence in him as a play caller, a game planner, and the head coach of this football team? Because I got to look at it and go, I'm seeing the same mistakes over and over again.
Yeah.
My confidence is definitely taking a hit in Doug Peterson. And it really, what really makes me lose confidence or start to lose confidence is the lack of ability in the first quarter. The fact that they haven't been able to get out to those quick starts. And I'm taking into account last year that Carson Wentz struggling in that first quarter and having or it all throughout last year and coming back from the injury. Look, I know a lot of the numbers with Carson look good, as we've talked about many times before, but the substance wasn't there. What you saw on the football field wasn't the same. This year, you're seeing the exact same thing. Falling in these deficits, not being able to get out to quick starts, all but the Jets game, you're trailing by at least double digits in every single one of these games so far this season. And again, to go on the road and not be able to put a game plan together where you could score points in the first quarter, even a field goal I'm looking for, Trey.
Yeah.
Not even a field goal. That's an indictment of the head coach to me.
Well, absolutely. I mean, when you start seeing the same mistakes over and over again, and it's the same thing, just keeps repeating itself, you have to stop looking at the players and start looking at the coaching. That's one of the things that I was looking at when I was looking at offensive line production. You have to, at some point, say, all right, you know what? It's not the player's fault if they keep making the same mistakes. Who's correcting it? So, you know... I can see why people would start to question what's going on if you keep seeing the same mistakes. I get it.
All right. Bob? Are you losing confidence?
I was just looking up.
Okay. I still think that Doug is a good coach.
You still think Doug's a good coach?
I think he's a good coach.
I think he does one thing great, and that is he listens to his players.
Okay.
Like when they call Philly Special, they call their own number.
Like, yeah, you selfish bastards.
Let's do that. Now, I do think he does one thing great. I need to see him be very good at the next. We'll go. If we're going to go like very good or okay with corners, let's go that same way with Doug. I want to see. I know that he's very good or maybe even great listening to his players, managing that locker room. But when it comes to the game plan, it's fallen very short so far in the last 2 years, especially in the first quarter when he's supposed to be drawing up the magic to score a touchdown or even get a field goal, which they haven't been able to do so far this year. Especially the team against the Jets, whatever you want to draw from that game, that again, as we've been referencing, the fifth preseason game they played against the Jets, this is a game where you want to see them be able, or this is really a season where you want to see them go out and right the ship in the first quarter, and they haven't been able to do that. If you look at it, Bob, from the objective standpoint, are you losing faith in Doug Peterson? Is your confidence taking at all a hit with Doug?
There's a better way. Losing confidence, I would say I'm a little bit shaken. I'm not stirred. I'm a little bit shaken here. But just looking at it real quick again, and I know I harp on this, but all right, here's a fact. How about the opposing team has scored on their opening drive in every game this season?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You win the toss on Sunday, and you defer.
Defer.
I mean, it's a little thing, but what the hell are you doing?
I no idea.
I mean, that's isn't that the definition of insanity that we've talked about so many times? Mm-hmm. Why?
And who's making the decision to defer?
It has to be the head coach, right,
yeah.
Trey?
Yeah, it's coach.
I mean, it's and people, you know, and Trey made a great point. When you're amped up, you want your D out there because, you know, sometimes your offense is too amped or whatever. it doesn't work. You have to change that. Mm. The simplest thing, change that. Take the ball when you lose the coin toss. At best thing is you're keeping that offense off the field, which Trey Thomas, who has the best football mind I've ever met, said your best defense against Minnesota is probably going to be to keep their offense off the field. Mm-hmm. So wouldn't you start the game with their offense on the bench?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's the simplest thing in the world, and that, yeah, my confidence is definitely shaken with Doug Peterson.
I like that he said that. I have a great football mind.
Yeah, that's awesome. I just speak
Thank
the
you,
truth.
Bob.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Facts only.
Trey had a great line on the Missinelli show when we were doing the All-Star Week. When Mike asked me, he says, do you take heat from players when you come on, you know, and you say it well, like it is, that somebody didn't have a good game? And Trey said, no, because I have the film to back me up. Trey's like, I'm not making things up.
Right.
I say what I see and what happened and what needs to be corrected. That's all. It's just all truth. You're the best football mind I've ever met.
Thank you, Bobby.
Yeah.
And you've covered that mind today with another fine fedora.
Oh, yeah, it is beautiful.
Oh, yeah. And then a very nice Tupac shirt.
Yeah. A little Poetic Justice.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, thank you.
Very nice. Jamie, losing confidence in Doug Peterson?
I mean, no, but
that
that's the definition of not having confidence. Somebody that's been harping on missing Frank Reich for 2 years, I feel like it's a little disingenuous if I don't say a little bit. Uh-huh. But I still very much believe he's a very good head coach.
Very good head coach. Okay.
Mm. Yes.
All right. So,
but I understand where people are coming from that might begin to doubt.
Okay.
I'm not saying you're crazy.
All right.
I see the case you've presented.
Yeah.
I still believe in my core that he is a very good coach.
All right. So it's more of a personnel. You would say, I don't lose confidence because how's he supposed to win with this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Coach is supposed to develop young talent, right?
That's part of it.
But he's not the one doing the developing.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I look to Corey Unlin.
Coaches. Coach to their strength.
Corey Unlin.
You have to look at position coaches then.
Then fire them all. who brought them in?
I mean, how is it possible you have six guys that are fairly young, athletic, and supposed to be decent at their positions, mm-hmm. and they're all kind of failing at once?
That seems pretty terrible.
That's where I look at Corey Undlin, and I'm like, all right, dude, how is this possible that everybody sucks?
Well, they're trying to prove that, I don't know, they're trying to do something amazing.
So, hey, look, everybody sucks. Has everyone else, can anybody else do this? We got all this young talent, and look, the best guy we have is okay.
Like, I just feel like if you took our DBs and sent them to another team that's better at, say, developing secondary players, like if you took Ronald Darby and sent him to Bill Belichick and the Patriots, is Ronald Darby going to look like a much better player?
Probably. Didn't Eric Rowe look
the answer
like
is yes.
Chung?
Patrick Chung became
way?
A stud.
Yeah.
Yes, he's going to look like a better player.
But he's also a much better, I think Bill Belichick's a little bit of a better defensive mind than a guy like Jim Schwartz.
So is it scheme? Is it development? Yeah, there's a lot of
playing
questions.
Playing to strengths, hiding weaknesses.
Yeah, certainly. All of that.
But one of the most consistent things we can look at is how, even dating back to last year, the first year without Frank Reich, and Doug's had more of the pie, if you will, in terms of the game plan. Well, then, what exactly is happening? One of the most consistent things is the lack of scoring early in games. And that is something they have not been able to correct. And to not score a touchdown in the first quarter of any game you've had on the road so far this year, not even score a point, and then also get out to these deficits of 10 or more points scored.
Yeah.
I don't understand, as a head coach, how you don't game plan better at the start of games to help your offense. When your fingerprints are most on the game, it's in that first quarter. And they can't get out to any semblance of a good start. That's what's crazy for me. So we'll get into that as the show goes on today. And then we'll also get into this. I don't like bitching about officiating, but I can do it now because it's not a homer type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the Eagles have suffered from it, just as every other team in the NFL has suffered from it as well.
Nothing like last night.
Not name the Dallas Cowboys. That's what I'll say.
Okay? Yeah, six penalties in a row on Sunday.
What happened Sunday with the Cowboys was atrocious. But then watching the game last night, and seeing Trey Flowers make two very good pass-rushing plays to try to beat the man in front. Was that Bologna in front of him? Or Bakhtiari?
Bakhtiari, I believe.
So he's trying to get around as his man, and they call him for hands to the face when his hand was clearly on the man's shoulder pad.
Yeah.
And Bakhtiari actually had a hand in his face mask.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so what? We won.
By we, he means offensive linemen. So we won one. Yeah, I thought this
all right. You know what? It's okay because defensive linemen do it all the time. They flop. Yeah. They throw their hands up. I was held. Hell, and then they throw the flag on the offensive line. Hey, we won one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm okay with that.
Uh huh. I thought this was going to be your counter argument, but nonetheless, Trey Flowers had his hand
beautiful pass rush
on
the inside of his shoulder pad
perfectly placed but not according to
the
referee.
Offensive lineman did a good job of extending his head up, making it look like there was a hand to the face. There you go. Hey,
in his 4 years of playing pro football, Trey Flowers has never, ever, ever been called to hands of the face.
Interesting.
Never. Until twice last night.
Oh, sorry.
In the fourth quarter.
He rubbed somebody the wrong way.
We won one, man.
You won.
We won one. It's not. It's not just the Eagles. It's offensive linemen everywhere.
Yeah, offensive linemen everywhere.
You're forever on their
squad. From everyone, all of us, all the fraternity. Big bodies.
What's your song where if we play it, you have to dance? What's the offensive lineman song?
That what?
When you play it, you have to dance like Atomic Dog. Is there a song that we play?
No.
The defensive linemen, the fraternity of offensive linemen? No?
No, it's none of that.
Nonetheless.
That's something different there.
An egregious call. The first one, you could almost say, oh, I could see why he thought there was a hand to the face there. Second one was just god-awful.
Yeah.
And the Packers ended up winning the game because these two atrocious calls were made.
It's come to the point with refereeing now that someone, the head of refereeing, whether it's Riveron or whoever it is, has to say, look, unless you're sure of something, don't call it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be absolutely sure of something, don't call it. If replay comes into play, so be it. And I brought this up to Jamie at 5 o'clock. The best football game we've seen over the last 3 years had nothing to do with our Eagles playing whatever. But the best football game we've seen over the last 3 years was that Super Bowl. And Gene Steratore and his group, and it turned out to be Steratore's last game because he retired afterwards, they got together before the game and said, let them play.
Mm.
Let them play. And if you remember that Super Bowl, very few calls. Players knew what they could do. They knew exactly how they could play the game that day, and it turned out to be one of the best football games I've ever seen in my life.
Well, I heard you actually mention that just towards the end of the 5 o'clock hour there, Bob, and I have a little insight on that game.
Very unique
insight I got from a man who's in charge of making some of those big decisions in that rule book, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on, because I agree with you. It was a great called Super Bowl. They had to review what they had to review, but eventually they got the calls right, and we'll get to that. Also, a little bit later today, we'll get into the Phillies a little bit. Larry Bowa was fantastic with us yesterday.
Yeah.
I wanted to suit up and take my lifetime batting average of like 108 to the Phillies and just help out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Be the starting center field.
I love listening to old school, like, baseball minds.
Yeah.
I can sit there and listen to that all day.
So we talked to him, and I wanted to run through a brick wall. I talked to him again a little bit later for NBC Sports Philadelphia, and again, the same thing. Like, we were playing golf, and I, like, wanted to hit someone. Like, I just felt like this is... I was all jazzed up. You know what I'm saying?
Is that what was wrong?
Yes, that. I'm usually really good. One thing I don't do in golf, make excuses.
You don't go tell people you're handicapped, do you?
I don't even know what a handicap is.
Yeah, none of us does.
Is that where I shoot more than... Yeah, okay.
I have no idea.
And the people in front of us just cheered on everything.
Oh, they were giddy.
Oh, my God, you hit the ball. Yeah!
Whoopee!
They're very excited. What can I say? Also, a little bit later, we'll get into a real-life Costanza story. This is something that I think everyone's always wanted to do, and this man did it.
Ah.
Public transit worker in New York got fired and showed up.
That's what's up.
God bless that man.
Yeah.
610-632-09. Oh, Sam, real quick, let's get an update, or rather put out officially our Twitter poll today and see what the people are saying.
Our Twitter poll is brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows, plus make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. This morning we asked, are you losing faith in Doug Peterson? 75% say no.
Oh, the confidence is strong in the head coach.
There you go.
Good to see he's not
losing
the
city. Don't give up on Doug.
We'll let you hear Doug Peterson at his press conference yesterday, including when he was pushed about that fake field goal. Time of the Fanatic is 6:24.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, the fake field goal is something that's going to be talked about for a while. And I don't know how it's not something that you don't, as a head coach, just kind of fall on the sword for. And it's like, yeah, you know, that was a bad decision by me. Instead, he's championing the cause even further. When everyone in the room, as you'll hear in a second, is like, no, Doug, take this one back. Just like you said, you're going to win, and then you said you weren't. Like, just take this one back.
Who's going to ever do that?
Admit your mistakes.
Someone with this little self-aware?
No. Maybe? No. You're going to be like, oh, no.
What's wrong with just saying, you know, I thought we would take a shot right there. I knew the odds weren't great, but, you know, we took a shot.
That's what he was saying. Like, look, we lined up. We had the look that we wanted.
Stop telling me. Stop telling me that we had the look. Because what it implies, and now you triggered me. See, because what it implies is that you were going to line up in field goal, and they were going to line up in nickel. And I was like, oh, nope, don't do that now. Yeah, now they're in nickel.
He said they got the look that they wanted.
Not nickel.
They got the look that they wanted, Jesus. Which was field goal block.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
go for it.
Yeah, let's go for it.
Do you want to tell people that here at 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by United Rentals Power and HVAC for all your power generation and HVAC rentals in the tri-state area. Visit unitedrentals.com. So Doug Peterson yesterday during the press conference was, as you would assume, pushed on the idea of going for that fake field goal. And here is Doug battling with the media over the decision to fake it.
Well, he would have caught it, and we caught it based on what we had seen on film and what we had seen the previous field goal attempt. He would have got the first down out of bounds.
Yeah, but what if he didn't get out of bounds?
I wasn't planning on he was going out of bounds. I mean, the play was there to go out of bounds. Then the offense is back on the field.
Yeah, but Jake would have had to, if he did get out of bounds, Jake would have had to run up and spike the ball.
I mean, you're assuming that's what would happen.
You're assuming that would have gone out of bounds.
That's right.
Right, but the ball hit him hand with like four players around
him. It didn't work. Yeah. Bottom line, it didn't work. Great play by the Vikings. Enough.
If the play worked as designed, though, what yard line were you expecting to be at out of bounds and how much time?
We were fourth and five?
Yeah.
Right? And we'd have been, we were at the 15-yard line, something like that, 20-yard line, somewhere in there.
And you were expecting how many shots?
We had 20 seconds left on the clock. We had probably two shots at the end zone before we kicked it again.
So was that part of your calculation there?
Completely. You have plenty of time. That's a trigger situation for us, and you got at least two shots to the end zone. It didn't work, by the way. In case you're wondering, the play didn't work. Okay. All right. Thank you. I'm glad we're talking about a fake field goal today.
Hey.
It was an opportunity and a 10-point swing.
So
you're getting the ball at halftime.
If it works, I am the coach. I called the play.
Yeah.
It didn't work, so why are we talking about
it? Yeah, why are you questioning me? Is how it came off.
Wow.
Look at these balls. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I get it. And when Zach Berman started asking his question about what yard line they were going to end up on, and he was like, yeah, that one. It was just like, yeah, what you just said was my idea. Yep, yeah, that was my goal. Like, that sounded terrible for Doug. Mm.
Jake had to throw. He had a window. But Jake never thrown a ball.
As I said it, and you know, for the people watching this yesterday on Twitch and today on twitch.tv, I'll look right at you right now and I'll tell you. That guy, yeah, was open, but he was not Jake Elliott open.
Yeah, I mean, there was a slight window. That if Jake would have thrown the pass,
mm-hmm.
Who was that, Ertz or Dallas?
I think it was Dallas.
So Dallas was open. He was there.
Yeah.
He was NFL open for a starting NFL quarterback.
That's
not
right.
The kicker.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, he was there. He probably would have gotten out of bounds, probably would have gotten the first down and gotten out of bounds. Then we ought to have been like, look at the balls on Doug.
Mm.
Look at those balls.
We were on Carson Wentz last year because he wasn't throwing the guys on the break.
Mm-hmm.
We were on him because he was throwing it when they were open.
Yeah.
So we're going to trust Jake Elliott to throw it to guys on the break?
To be a better anticipation passer than our starting quarterback.
Your MVP from 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's going to work.
Oh, my God.
Anybody losing confidence in Doug Peterson?
Hey.
That is the question today. That is our Twitter poll today.
Man, look at the balls on Doug.
No, absolutely not.
They need to put him in hammer pants.
To hell with Stop. To hell with that. If that would have worked.
Homemade hammer pants.
Yeah, put him in hammer pants.
You would have heard the hands.
Room.
You would have heard the face palms in the Delaware Valley if that play still worked. Because people would have been slapping themselves in the head going, oh my God, Doug. Jeez, thank God that worked.
Yeah.
Because everyone knows it's the wrong play call. Then they just got lucky. That's all that happened.
Man, people would have been stitching hammer pants from for the next couple weeks. Because Doug needs room for his balls.
Are parachute pants and hammer pants the same thing?
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, same thing. Oh, look at you with your new mug.
I told you.
But see that? Go show that to people on Twitch.
Yeah.
Look at that item.
It says a game tonight, baby.
Do you freeze that? Is that a freezeable mug?
I don't know.
I think it does like have the water in the inside. Yeah, you
crystals.
Freeze that. Yeah.
Mm. Use dehydrate.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
Trey is accepting new mugs, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. And not even just mugs, but like tall beer mugs.
Big mugs.
But you drink water out of
them. Gotta drink water.
Can't
drink
beer.
Can't
treat yourself.
Drink beer here.
Here's a man we haven't talked to in a while. Philly J in D.C. What's up, Philly J?
How y'all doing?
Good, man.
Yeah, I do want to talk about the Eagles, but also in that that Green Bay debacle last night, wasn't it like 12 or 13 men on the field on a field goal, too? That the Packers didn't get called for?
I saw a tweet about that. Yeah. I saw a tweet about it. That didn't jump out to me, but I did see a tweet. Yeah, so you're not crazy.
Okay. About the offense in the first half, this is my whole thing about the offense. Like, we had the same discussion last year when the offense was struggling. At some point, this is just my whole thing. At some point, the offense has to execute these plays that's being called for them in the first half. You know, I don't believe that every play that Doug Peterson is calling in the first half is a bad play. You know what I'm saying? Some plays probably aren't good for the certain defense, but I'm quite sure there are plays that are good for that defense. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm watching the NFL 100, and I don't know if y'all been checking that out on NFL Films. I mean, they had the linebackers. They had Mike Singletary, Willie Lanier, Lawrence Taylor, Harry Carson, and Ray Lewis. And they told the story about when Ray Lewis was going off when he was, the defensive coach called a play that he didn't like and it didn't work. And Singletary was the coach. And he went up to him and showed the clip. He was like, look, the coaches call the plays. You got to execute them. If you got a problem with the plays, you know, you got to take that behind closed doors, Jet. It's your job to execute them and Jet like that. You know what I'm saying?
All right, so
it's the offensive job that executes the plays in the first half.
Right.
And you can't tell me that for 2 years straight, every play that Doug Peterson is calling is a bad play. I don't buy that.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
I get it, but when I watch it for two straight years now, it is a concern, especially when you lost such a key contributor to your offensive game plan in Frank Reich.
Yeah, that's true, but, I mean, nobody's perfect. I mean, I'm looking at
I'm not looking for perfect. I'm looking for one point in the first quarter on the road.
I'm looking at the Colts Twitter feed and Colts fans be complaining about Frank Reich in the first half and stuff like that. I mean, getting cute and stuff with offensively. You know what I'm saying? So nobody's Bill Walsh out here.
I get it. And Philly J, good to catch up with you again, man. But here's the thing. I don't know why. It seems logical to me, but it does bother me still. When I see Carson check out of the first two plays of the game against the Vikings on the road. Like, that's when you're supposed to have your game plan in place and executing. And Doug said yesterday, oh, well, the second one was actually an RPO, and if it wasn't there for the pass, he could check down to the run.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, wait a minute, what about your scouting? So your scouting told you needed the second option?
And now, sometimes, too, now, they will call dummy kill plays.
Right.
So, you know, they will get up there and they'll call it in the huddle, dummy kill, and then it's an actual, you're going to just stick with the play.
Right, but he didn't say that's what it was yesterday. He defined it further.
Never say that. You know, he's never going to say like, oh yeah, we call dummy plays. You know, you want to make sure that you keep that on the rounds, but you will call dummy kill plays. You know what, first of all, man, because people just say the construction workers behind us. It's pretty cool to be a construction worker.
It is. We are, hey, fellas. Yeah, we are definitely envious.
Yeah, we are.
You can walk in and you say, look at this. I created wall.
Yeah, and they're looking at us like, look at these idiots. They get to talk about sports all day.
Yeah, right.
And then we're looking at them like, wow, look what they get to do.
They made a wall.
The grass is always greener on the other side of the glass, I guess, because they're literally on the other side of the glass right now. You guys are doing a great job.
Yeah.
We're envious of you guys because you guys get to build something and it's there.
Yeah.
We talk say words and it goes away.
We don't know what happened.
That's it. Yeah. Like a fart in the wind.
You see this coming here? This is my wall.
Every radio program is a fart in the wind. 610-632-0975. Just to sum it up for any of the kids going to radio school right now. 610-632-0975. All right, coming up. We're going to run through some calls. We got Tony, we got Mike, we got Alex in New York City. And that's where our Costanza story takes place. To all the people that ever wanted to, I don't know, get fired from their jobs and keep getting paid, that was for a dream for you. But this man lived it. Time of the Fanatic, 6:43.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, coming up, we're going to let you hear a little bit more from Doug Peterson's press conference yesterday. Also, we'll get into this Costanza story, because some man actually pulled a real-life Costanza. And it's not just a, it's not a lie, if you believe it.
Oh, no, absolutely.
It's getting fired, mm-hmm. and then still getting paid, showing up for work.
Yeah, you just show up.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, did you mean that, did you think, oh, I was just playing yesterday. I didn't know you meant that.
No, oh, you're serious? I'm really fired?
Do you know the real... Jamie, I know you know this, but do you guys know the real story about Costanza getting fired? Like, what inspired that?
Really?
Larry David, the producer, writer, yeah, Seinfeld, yeah. And Curb Your Enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. Clear History, great movie. Larry David got really pissed off at his boss. I think it was Dick Ebersol when he was producing Saturday Night Live.
Uh-huh.
And Larry David was a writer and told Dick Ebersol, who then became the famed sports producer for NBC, and Jamie, you and my former boss.
Yeah.
And he basically told him to go to hell and yelled and screamed and all that stuff and walked out. And then the next day just showed up to work.
Yeah.
And everyone acted totally fine.
Yeah.
So we'll get into that story in just a second as far as it applies to real life circumstances. Tony in Cherry Hill, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Tony?
Hey guys, how are you? First, let me start with a thank you. I just recently completed a move from South Philly to South Jersey, and you're saving my life every morning.
Oh, thanks, brother.
So thank you.
Really appreciate that, Tony.
You guys got me triggered yesterday. You were talking about first ones I ever heard to say it. I think Jamie was the one who brought it up. Where's Howie Roseman's culpability in all this? You know, as you look at all the holes throughout this entire roster that are inherently built into this team that go from years and years of just bad drafts, I mean, the Donnell Pumphrey pick, just recently the Whiteside pick with Metcalf on the board. Let's go back years to Danny Watkins. And, I mean, it's just, I don't know if it's just me, but it just seems like all four of our sports teams just do a terrible job in making selections and player development. I just wanted to hear your guys' thoughts.
I have felt like that all along. Look how long it's taken. And look, we're three games into the season, so who knows what Carter Hart really is, but he looks good early. But still, nonetheless, even if he is a very good goaltender, maybe not even great, it still took you how many? 35 years to get a goaltender that you can have some confidence in? I mean, all these teams throughout sports in Philadelphia have had trouble. The Phillies had a brief, good hiccup with guys like Chase Utley and Ryan Howard and Cole Hamels and all those guys and Jimmy Rollins that you were able to groom through your system, but they are so few and far between here. And with Howie, drafting has never been his strong suit. The strong suit of Howie Roseman has been salary cap, being able to manipulate that, and then also being able to make trades and acquire picks that they later blow. That's what it feels like. Now, I will say this. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside obviously can't get on the field right now and can't help this team. Right. And Doug Peterson was pressed on him yesterday, and he said that we basically have a lot of 12 personnel, so we don't have room for him. We got to bring in Mac Hollins. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside can't do what Mac Hollins is doing. What's Mac Hollins doing to stay on the field? The other part of that...
Special teams.
He's not even playing special teams right now.
What?
No.
Imagine that. How heartbroken is he right now? And he's not even playing special teams.
Well, you know his offensive production is going to go down if he's not able to go out there and rush the punter.
That's right. See, Doug needs to know that. More confidence lost in Doug. He doesn't know his players now. But in all seriousness, go ahead.
Yeah, and you brought up the Phillies. I mean, think about all the years when we trade away Cliff Lee. We can't trade our prospects. We can't trade our prospects. Then think about the prospects we traded that never even panned out. The Kyle Drabecks. The Singletons. I mean, I remember when Dom Brown was brought up and he was the next coming. And then now it's like I'm even having my doubts about Hoskins and the Sixers, all those years of Larry Hughes, Samuel Dallenbear. I mean, hell, Sharon Wright, Speedy Claxton. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah, the Sixers. Wow. Yeah, but the Sixers right
so
now. Hold on. Now, hold on a second. I will say, with the exception of Markelle Fultz, and I know that's a big exception to ask, but. Do you have guys right now that are young on this team that are going to be very good for a long time?
Yeah,
so the Sixers right now are the one aside. If you talk about history, yeah, over the last three, 4 years, not so much.
Well, Mark, let me comment on that, because if I had seven opportunities to make a pick in the top three, mm-hmm. I think I hit once or twice as well. And let's think about the Embiid pick. We wanted Wiggins that year. I mean, and Wiggins was the one who had, maybe it's just the fans that wanted him.
Yeah.
When we got Embiid.
I was good on Wiggins.
I think we were all a little bit skeptical about the Embiid pick, and that sort of panned out.
But before I go, I need some
advice from Bob Cooney.
Ooh,
Bob,
what's up, buddy?
I just moved to South Jersey.
Uh-huh.
I can't find a good slice of pizza. It's killing me. Pizza's always good. I get it. But everything's a 5 or a 6. Give me a 9 or a 10. Help me out here.
Oh, all right. I'll give you. I'll tell you what. Do this, Tony. Yep. Send me a tweet and I'll DM you.
My man. Thank you very much, guys. Have a great day.
You got it, buddy.
I will tell you, I know of one good place in South Jersey. A buddy of mine took me there, and it was actually excellent. It was a place called Vito's.
Vito's is in Evesham. Yeah, right. Right near where the Flyers practice.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That was a good spot.
Real quick.
Yes, sir.
Because Danny Watkins keeps being brought up. Like that, man.
He was 26 years old. He didn't even love football. All right, sorry. I'm trying. Go ahead.
Really,
he's a trigger word for me.
Danny Watkins just was under bad coaching. He would have been. If you bring Danny Watkins in, you put him under Juan Castillo, Danny Watkins would have been a totally different player.
Mm.
There were times when I was on the staff with them, you could see the potential. But I think Howard Mudd was a very aggressive and abrasive coach. And Danny wasn't the type of guy. You have to know how to reach guys. And he wasn't the type of person that you can just go out there and MF-er throughout the day. You know what I'm saying? You can see that his confidence was just crushed mm-hmm. under that type of coaching. Some people you have to be a certain different way with.
Well, he was Purdue, right?
No, he went to Baylor.
Baylor, sorry. Yeah. So you have a guy like him who is still fairly new to the sport.
Mm-hmm.
Older, but new to the sport.
Yeah.
And you ride him as hard as a guy like Howard Mudd did. Because I've heard you talk about this before.
Yeah, Howard Mudd. Like, now, everybody can't take that type of coaching.
Right.
And he wasn't the kind of person that you could coach like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you were in this system where you're telling him to jump all the time. Well, if you jump all the time, if you get beat, you get beat quick.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's the same that he was in that situation, but by the time they started working with him, man, his confidence was just crushed.
Okay.
You know, under being an assistant. And it's just bad because everybody looked at it, oh, Danny Watkins sucked. He really was all right, dude. Like, if he would have had the right coaching, Danny could have been a player here.
All right. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. So, Jamie, I saw this.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.